This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Over the years, Five Arts Centre has presented a number of theatrical works that engaged with contemporary and political issues. These include works like Sudden Death, which was performed in memory of Theo Bengkok, and Version 2020, which ruminated on the former administration's National Transformation Plan. Now, with Malaysia under a new government for the first time since independence, how might these artistic works be reframed? Joining me today to discuss this are Mark Teh and Jun Tan from the Five Arts Centre. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thanks for inviting us.
So what was your first reaction when you first heard that we had a new government after GE14?
That the opposition was in power. I think it took a little bit of getting used to. I remember a quote from Siva Rasa, who said that, I'm telling people now not to believe their WhatsApp messages. If you want the truth, go to TV3 and Astro Awani. So when he said that, we realized, things have changed.
We were out of our bodies, out of our minds, out of ourselves, right? Because this thing was like kind of too good to be true, by which I mean like it was unexpected. The results were unexpected. And actually what was interesting and can be a point of departure for our discussion is like we were physically in Athens. Mm-hmm. June and myself and some other members of Five Arts Centre, like Anne James, and we were doing this show, we're presenting this show called Baling, which is about the 1955 Baling talks in the context of Athens, at a festival called Fast Forward Festival. So you can imagine, for us, you know, who had worked in previous elections and campaigned for former opposition members of parliament, it was really tough for us to be away during this moment. And we were obviously following the news on our phones, and we projected in the theatre. We had four projector screens, so we projected the results as they were streaming in. We really, really like felt so like fish out of water, you know. But at the same time, being in Athens was a really special and strange experience. If we had to be anywhere else and not be in Malaysia during that time, it had to be Athens, because that city really has a kind of like layers and layers relating to Western theatre and Western democracy.
And democracy, yeah.
And those are the cliches, right, Sharmila? Like, you know, everyone talks about those things, like the cradle, the birthplace. But Athens today, you know, is in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. So as excited and as elated as we were, our Athenian colleagues, our Greek colleagues were like, we're really happy, you know, after 61 years, change has come to Malaysia. Mm. And there's lots of things that will be exciting and changing. But, you know, guys, you know, when you look at Athens today, we have lots of shops shuttered up, you know, people are doing really badly. You know, democracy is a very unstable, alive, difficult, complicated thing, you know, so.
Democracy is constantly evolving, or the idea of democracy is constantly evolving, not just in Malaysia. I think globally we can see it in different communities.
You know, democracy is something that you have engaged with quite extensively in your works, with Five Arts Centre, Mark, your own works as well.
Sure.
So when you heard that we now had a new government, did that give you sort of pause to look back at the work you've done and somehow think about what may have led to this point today?
I mean, yes and no. It's a huge question, Sharmila. No, it's great. Yes and no. I mean, you know, when it happened, obviously, we're not so self-obsessed that we're thinking about our own work, right? But certainly, thinking about a lot of other things. But certainly one of the things that came up
was... We were
was,
so good that we didn't have to be there for it to happen, right?
Right. But certainly one of the things that was really, I think, significant was immediately, or quite soon after, just in my head, you know, I realized that we would not be doing Version 2020 again in its current form. Mm-hmm. And I said this to June, and I said this to some of the team members, because the Baling team and the Version 2020 team are kind of overlap. And the reasoning is, I think, quite straightforward, because Version 2020 was a kind of critique of Malaysia's futures as it had been constructed by Mahathir in 1991, and more recently Najib and Khairi Jamaluddin in last year. Mm-hmm. So now that things had shifted, to look at those futures and to look at what that means in our context, we need more time. So we've actually made a decision to not tour version 2020, although there's interest from other places, because we would have to rework it quite substantially. It refers to very specific situations in Malaysia that now has changed, and we should allow for that change to infect and influence our work, you know. And so for us, we will have to spend time to rework a lot, and if we're going to rework so much, we might as well just make another show. And anyway, the Complete Futures of Malaysia project, under which version 2020 is parked, is an ongoing generative project, and it's great to not just self-generate but to have to react to things changing outside of our research, you know, that throws us and so we have to think differently and generate differently. Exciting, frustrating, but ultimately I think like that's what we want to do, you know. And so it's good that we will not tour, and we will have to make new work.
And also maybe kind of
that version
kind of indicated for us, because when you started on this version 2020, at the time Transformasi wasn't announced, right? Transformasi, was it announced yet?
Yeah, it was. So it was when we started the research for the Complete Futures project, the Transformasi National 2050, the ambition that Najib launched for us to become a top 20 nation by 2050 hadn't been announced just yet. So it was very serendipitous. So we were in a race with former administration.
And then when we showed it in Tokyo, I think Mahathir had just come back to the foray as an opposition leader. So suddenly for this work, we were trying to respond to so many different things. So it's really quite amazing, I think, the speed of things that can happen in Malaysia politically.
And theatre, you know, unlike, say, film, is something that can accommodate for those changes, right? Because it's never static.
That's right.
It can absorb changes, it can evolve. And like you said, you can present it in a different form. Mm. So as theatre makers, what do you make of all these, you know, rapid changes that Malaysia has been going through, and how does that feed into your work?
Two things, I guess, like immediately come up. One is in terms of like dealing with content or what, like text in performance, you know, because in my own work, I primarily make documentary theatre. So that means that I engage with the archives, I engage with public documents, public records, newspaper articles, and the biography of the people who are performing in it, the performers and the designers and myself and the producing team. Like our perspectives really come into play. So let's just say, like, as techs, in a way, these devised documentary works very specific to the particular group of people and the particular time in which it was created, right? So if we want to change, or if we want to update to reflect changes in Malaysia, the group has to come back together. The band has to get back together and say, like, hey, guys, what do we do? So one is in terms of content. If we never want to update version 2020, let's say, or if we never updated Baling in the last 12 years, although it feels like 20 years, then they will just stay in as moments in time, which is fine also, because lots of playwrights work that way, right? And you can perform works by Tennessee Williams or Jose Sulaiman or Kitwan Chai ad infinitum. But because of our work is engaged with politics and let's just say current affairs in quite direct ways, then we have to update. So one is to just do iterations and to do versions of, say, like Baling over the years. But I guess another thing, stepping away from like the constant change around us, and there's been so much change in the last like 60 odd days, you know, that we've had a so-called new Malaysia, is of course what remains. And I think what remains is our working methodology. So as I already mentioned, because we work in a collagistic way, because we work in a way that hopefully is critical and quite self-reflexive in thinking about what are the changes happening around us, and also ways of looking at documents and so on and so forth. So I think that hasn't changed. So that way of working, or that methodology that we've kind of evolved, hopefully can be useful to us and provide a kind of anchoring for us as things are swirling around, you know, because I think that's what we actually need. It, as you mentioned, theatre is a very live thing, but also it's a very slow
sure.
thing,
yeah.
You know. It cannot be as responsive as some other media. So we're aware of the limitations of the performing form, you know.
But actually, I see it a bit differently from Mark, because I think we cannot be static. And I think it was very obvious when we, you know, when we did Version 2020 in Tokyo in February, and then when we brought it back to KL in March, already there were changes. Already there, and we premiered it in Munich in October last year. So there was already a change. So I think the work is really, it's evolving all the time. And for someone who is, because I'm the producer, so I see the changes, and I think it's really exciting because you are dialoguing with the current situation. And not even in a very slow way, I feel. Like, for example, we have a possibility of restaging Ghost and Forward in a festival. We're still talking, but it really crossed our mind because it's really, you know, the story of the excavation of Marin de Cruz's dance history. And the backdrop is the Mahathir era, in a sense. So now, so I turned to Mark and Mary and said, if this, if we do get a chance to perform this, you guys are responding now to the current situation. Right, so you talked about your past with, under this prime minister, and then we had this thing, and then now he's back. So what's your response to this? So I think it's very life, and it's very current. And because of that, you can be flexible, and you, you need to change your positions. I think Malaysians need to really consider what's going on.
For maybe for people who are not familiar with Ghost and Forward, I should just mention very quickly, like a quick and dirty summary. Like what it is it's a lecture performance by Marin de Cruz that we first did in 2009, and it's a solo performance. And what it does is it maps Marion's own personal history with contemporary dance in Malaysian history and national history. So Marin de Cruz talks about her work against the backdrop of certain events, whether it's things like Operasi Lalang in 87, or growing up in the 70s as like the first generation of students to learn performing arts in University Sains Malaysia, and taking part in the Baling demonstrations, for example, and so on and so forth. So that's what June means. So we are being invited to revisit this work in a festival in the region. So that also allows us to again, as June said, kind of like reorient our maps, relook at our work, and actually be reflective and critical, you know. So it's exciting. We haven't got into it just yet, but these are things that are on the table for us to look at.
I'm speaking to Mark Thay and June Tan from the Five Arts Centre. We're talking about some of their previous works that have engaged with Malaysia's political landscape and how they can now be viewed with a new perspective. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to Mark Thay and June Tan from the Five Arts Centre about their theatre projects and how having a new Malaysian government might provide a new way of viewing their past works.
When you revisit these works, do you find themselves now looking at them through a different lens, particularly when it comes to, you know, there were things that perhaps you couldn't talk about or couldn't talk about overtly. And now there's this general sense of, oh, it's easier to say certain things, or perhaps you're going to not have as much trouble expressing certain sentiments that we couldn't in the past. Does this affect how you look at those works now?
Again, it's a great, complicated question. And again, it's like, I think yes and no, you know, because say something like the latest version of Baling, which we did, which has been touring for the last 3 years. One of the things that the show, that this version of Baling does is to really look at Chin Peng as a figure, the communist leader and former secretary general of the Communist Party of Malaya, who after 1955, the Baling talks, which he participated in with Tunku Abdul Rahman, Tan Cheng Lock, and David Marshall in Baling Kedah to negotiate an end to the war, basically. He was never allowed to come back, and he lived in exile in Thailand and China and so on and so forth. And this figure of Chin Peng became public enemy number one. He was public enemy number one in British, and also very conveniently, this image of him and these images of him were mediated, you know, and kind of accelerated, right? He was this scary phantom figure, always across the border, always ready to attack. You know, it was constructed by the Malaysian state, the Barisan Nasional state, right? So we'd done four previous versions of Baling. We never really touched on Chin Peng. We circulated around it, you know, because a bit scared lah. But also, we wanted to fiction our own personal, our family's histories against the Baling text. In the latest version, we decided hey, let's really look at Jinping directly in the face, because he passed away in 2013. And one of the things that he had been trying in the last decade was to try and return to Malaysia. In his final interviews, I think he kind of made a very poetic and political gesture by saying, well, if I cannot visit the cemetery at which my parents are buried, and if I cannot visit Setiawan, where I was born, then maybe I will, when I die, my friends will take my ashes back and spread it in the cemetery where I want to be buried, next to my parents. And I don't know if people remember this anymore, but immediately after then DPM Zahid Hamidi stationed police and army across the Malaysian Thai border, checking people's bags to, you know, if anyone has got like satchels of like debu and, and ashes, and blowing them across the but you see, these notions of pollution, these notions of things actually not disappearing, you know, pencemaran, right, is really strong. So it was in that context that we said in 2013, you know, hey, let's look at the figure of Jinping and try and tease out how he had been mediated, how this public enemy was constructed and created. And this is a person who had not entered into Malaysian, stepped foot into Malayan soil since 1955. So what was this ghost about? What was this phantom about? What was this fear that was constructed and created about? So in that sense, to go back to the question, I guess that was one of the strategies which we have always thought of. Like, let's deal with fear in the public sphere. Not touching directly on politics in Malaysia in 2015 when we were doing that, but how are public enemies created? Which then asks a parallel question: how are public heroes constructed? Because if we think then of his parallel, someone like Tunku Abdul Rahman. Tunku Abdul Rahman is the only human statue as a monument anywhere in Kuala Lumpur, because there's all these issues related to Islamic representation, right?
I think billboards you can bring down, right?
Right.
We had a lot of those.
That's right. So I think these are questions, if we do it now, they might ask about, say, the figure of Mahathir and the figure of Najib. You know, the figures of Najib. Like, what? Who are these heroes and devils, and the return of a past hero, or a very complicated figure, you know. We can also see it in, say, something like a colleague of ours who we work with so much, Fahmi Reza, his clown, his Badut drawings. Suddenly, it gains a lot of criticism, because that had become very iconic in the last few years. But suddenly, like, people are criticizing Fahmi, like, hey, get over it, lah. You know, like, have some new targets and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
And I guess back to the question about, you know, what can be said and what can't be said. Actually, at this point, I'm not sure. You know, I think I as a producer, there's still a sense of caution, still a sense of people saying this is new Malaysia. But, you know, we didn't wake up to a completely liberal, open, inclusive society just like that overnight. You know, we just changed government. So let's just see how it pans out. I mean, they have 5 years to do their job. So I guess as a producer, I always imagine my conversation with Special Branch at every show. So that's kind of hard to shake. So I still look at each project as, okay, what are the boundaries we're pushing, and do we still need to use the strategies that we have in the past to say what we need to say?
Right, because one of our strategies, especially for things which we think like the content is more directly political, we do have lawyers on standby. We do have activists, our friends, and you know, other stakeholders on standby, because we have a history of dealing with Special Branch and dealing with City Hall. So that's a system that we have set up over, you know, 34 years, and we are familiar with that. So some of those systems are also in question, I guess.
Well, I'm not too sure about that. Yeah. So we'll see.
So I found it quite striking, actually, when you mentioned these notions of heroism versus villainy, who's a hero, who's a villain, the return of the complicated hero. you know, and with the former PM, Najib, you know, having been investigated and now being charged, we're going to see a lot of these narratives play out.
Yeah.
As arts makers, as theatre makers, what do you make of all of this? And, you know, is there a certain sense of suddenly the theatricality of life sort of overtaking what we're used to seeing on stage, almost?
Oh, well, I find it a very strange landscape, frankly, to be in a sense that, you know, in Five Art Centre, we have one of our members, Swami Fadil, who is now MP of Lama Pantai. Mm. So we were talking that day, like, oh, should we say that? I mean, what if in 5 years' time it turns out to be one of the... Maybe we shouldn't say that yet.
What if it turns out terrible? Yeah. We'll say it on air right now, shall we? Yeah. And then we're associated with
that's
him.
That's right. You know, like, absolutely. Lousy people. Yes. No, so, you know, so we're very aware of that. And we've had conversations with Fahmy, and he's also trying to figure out the landscape. And back to the Fahmy Reza's example, you know, he was the it punk boy, he's saying what we all want to say. And then suddenly he's got criticized for that when there was a change in power, being kind of maybe like pedantic and, you know, why are you still having this tough love? Why do you still need to criticize like an Asian father sort of thing, you know? So I think we're still trying to figure out. But I think it's important to remain very sensitive to it. Because what is the position that has changed? And what is the position that hasn't changed? Mm. So I think the differentiation of that is very critical for individuals to understand.
Yeah, I mean, we can't be like soothsayers, like thinking through like what kind of artwork will emerge. Mm. I mean, but I'll try. But I think what we might see, because we can point to places like Indonesia, Philippines, you know, regional neighbors really, that also went through these kind of big changes, right? 20 years ago, reformasi in Indonesia and almost 30 odd years ago in Philippines, where people who had been making very directly political work or agitprop or protesty work, theatre groups, film directors and so on and so forth kind of lost a little bit of their compass because the target of the critique and the target of like so much of their work had changed. So then it's a question not so much of looking at figures as like clear like, oh, it's a Najib thing or it's a Mahathir thing, but to shift the protagonist actually, you know, towards other people, because institutions, we know, legal structures, we know, take a long, long, long time to change. Mm. You know, so if we believe in the protagonism, and you know, theatre and drama and film is all about this, then we will get stuck at the level of characters, Mahathir, Najib, Anwar Ibrahim, Wan Azizah, and then we get very excited by the optics, you know, and all this sort of thing. But what are the underlying subtexts, actually? So if we shifted away from that, it would be interesting, I think, if, say, people begin really looking at some of the documents that are coming out, helping us sift through these 1MDB type things, for example, and not looking at it just from like the Najib, Rosma, Jola, but actually like what got lost in between. For example, we've got a whole host of international art that was bought with Malaysian money.
Yes.
You know, so that's a whole other kind of a thing for people to kind of investigate if they want to and look into. I suspect there will be a lot of more like expressive, talking politically kind of stuff, because that often happens after these kind of ruptures. And sometimes it's quite bad, actually, a lot of this like newly political art, you know, because people just want to like say everything, and there's very little poetics about it. Mm-hmm. So it's just saying, you know. So I anticipate some of these things, and we are not above making bad art too, just to qualify that, right? So
yeah, you're from Five Arts, man.
yeah,
it's like you never know.
We
right?
have a history of it.
Yeah.
But also, when it comes to art in theatre, what about this question of impartiality is perhaps not the word, but for so long, because we've never had a different government, anyone who was critical of the policy of the day was almost by default considered an opposition arts maker. Mm. And now that's no longer the case. Was, as you mentioned earlier, what was anti-establishment is now establishment. How do you all position yourselves now when it comes to the work you make? Do you still consider yourself to be you know, critical of the government of the day, or, you know, have you all thought about where this leaves you? For instance, you mentioned Fahmy Fazil now being part of the government. Mm. So how does this renegotiate your identities as theatre makers?
Yeah, I think I think there's no easy way to answer that. You know, it's an ongoing process. I think certainly when Five Arts started in 84, I don't think the original founders thought they were going to last until 2018, mm-hmm. right? In fact, some of them have passed away. people like Krishanjit and Reza Piyadasa. Having said that, I think what is interesting is that a lot of our work has really been about navigating the landscapes of Malaysia. Mm. You know, yes, political landscapes also, of course, but we also really look at different cultural landscapes. You know, we look at histories. More recently, some of us have been engaging with the future. We've looked at marginal stories. And I think this is work that we will continue to do, irrespective of who is in power and who isn't in power. And I also just like to really, really qualify that there's no way that a so-called formal opposition led by Mahathir Mohamad and Anwar Ibrahim are not establishment. Mm-hmm. There is no escaping that, you know. So we're in the honeymoon right now, but and we will come out of it because, in a way, and June has said this in other contexts, it's like throwing the last 20 years away, right? Because we're back to not square one, we have moved on, but we're back to Mahathir and Anwar as these kind of protagonists, you know. So I think that is a open question, not just for us, but for anyone who's working within the context of Malaysia. This is secondly, if I may, I think one thing for us to think about moving away from, let's say, like making artwork, because that will continue, and a lot of that is just generated by individual artists, is actually the notion of cultivating publics. Mm-hmm. And we know in Malaysia, people always talk about the rakyat. Everyone is working for the rakyat. Everyone is working for the public. But actually, we know that it's actually publics we're talking about. There are multiple publics. You know, there is no unity. There's no fictional unity or mythic unity that actually exists. Maybe only comes for like a game when Lee Chong Wei like is playing against Lin Dan. But aside from that, you know, we are very fractured actually, and they're fine because most nation states function that way. We are fractured because there are people who want an Islamic state, let's say. There are people who want a space for LGBT, let's say. There are people who want the Malaysian Agreement of 1963 to be recognized. And all of these are competing interests and competing publics, you know, and sometimes they work together and sometimes they don't. We can see this reflected actually in the Pakatan Harapan government. I don't want to be too cynical too, because surely it is not easy for, you know, your Mat Sabus and your Lim Guanings and all these people who have been imprisoned in the 80s and the 90s to sit next to Mahathir and have him as the kind of like Chairman Maha, you know. So we are aware of these, yes, compromises, expediencies, but also very real human, I don't know, like I don't want to use the word healing, mm-hmm. but let's say like conciliations that have to be done. So one of the things that Five Arts has been talking about more recently is, irrespective of if we get ministry, if we get arts council, if we get whatever, is to kind of really look at what we would like to do to engage the public and engage artists, irrespective of who is in power. Maybe June, you want to talk about
that? Yeah, I think maybe the point is we're not so anti-establishment per se, nor are we anti-personality per se. So I think when these establishments or these personalities shift, so then the question is, what are we frictioning against, or what are we responding to? And most of the time, it's just the issue of the day. So I think as artists, you know, we try and create meaning from that, from those questions. And I think what Mom was saying was, you know, I think a few months ago, there was some discussion about Arts Council and, you know, what do we want, our own ministry. And then actually, like, us as a collective, we sat down and said, okay, let's just say that this hasn't happened.
We don't get a ministry. We don't get a council.
You know, or this rupture hasn't happened. You know, this change of government hasn't happened. What will you still be lobbying for? What are the gaps that you still see and what you want to push for? So it becomes very issue-focused. It becomes very, like, let's just look at the gaps rather than who can make this happen sort of thing. So I think...
Which hero should we apply to?
So I think we're just figuring that out. So, which is, I feel, a very more comfortable position to be in. You know, in a sense that you are really kind of looking at it makes me breathe easier because it's a long-term goal. These are the steps that will get you to what for the change that you want to see.
It's about kind of principles and ethics. And I think, you know, as Malaysian artists, artists. I know, Shamila, you're really doing great work engaging with other artists, pulling them in for like all these conversations, you know. But I think as the point being that as artists, I think what is and as art makers, producers, we can learn a lot from other civil society coalitions and groups, and we need to, you know. And it's been great for us to have someone like Ivy Jose, who's also a member of Five Arts. But as an example, you know, the women's movement, the struggle is long and continuous and will continue, like they'll be continuing fighting new things. But, you know, that work started in the 80s quite self-consciously, not just with like women's aid organization, one organization, but like, you know, there was AWAM, then Sisters in Islam, Women's Center for Change in Penang, and so on and so forth. The Naganita, of course. And they were aware, like, hey, this is a long game. You know, besides our individual interests of putting on specific, in theater terms, like shows, cultivating our own audiences, making sure we get funding for our next projects and our next year planning, blah, 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 all those things which are very specific to individual arts groups, what are the kind of larger landscape of advocacy that we need looking into? You know, and we can borrow and learn so much from like the women's rights movement, you know, moving from issues of domestic violence, which was like the start of that movement, to a lot more other things, you know, like gender equality and so on and so forth. And we know that battle hasn't finished because we only have 20%
representation
as women ministers, you know, in our cabinet. So that's something that we are thinking a lot about, like not just the content of our work, but what are the invisible scaffolding that and advocacy, to put it very simply, and activism that supports this, you know.
And I guess that's part of what it means to move into this, what we hope is a new democracy for Malaysia, to know that it's not just about aligning yourself with one party, but rather engaging with wider issues and not making your decisions or your protests based on a particular party. And in many ways, that's something all of us are moving towards together for the first time.
Yeah,
because the question of ideology has never been really the voter's point. I think for a long time, it's always been a representation of your kind of like your ethnic interests.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of divided into these ethnic groups, almost like community groups, you know. You're like, which association you want to associate yourself with. And then now, the whole question of ideology is, I think, could be more visible. And if you think about 5 years from now, 2023, what would be the stakes for Malaysia? You know, who will be the opposition? What will they be championing? So I think that's quite interesting for everybody.
Well, thank you for joining me today, guys.
Thank you
very much, Shamila, for having us.
It was fantastic being here. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I've been speaking to Mark Tay and June Tan from the Five Arts Centre about how their theatrical works hold new significance today with the change in our government. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app, which is available on the App Store or Google Play. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.